Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never. And I got to tell you, we're going to get into the constitutional and legal jurisdictional limitation on the general government. But I have to share with you this conversation I had since my last episode and talking with Douglas V. Gibbs. Douglas V. Gibbs is the guy that got me started in radio. He calls himself the constitutional speaker. He calls himself Mr. Constitution. I mean, he and I, you know, see eye to eye, and we're the kind of guys that will actually have very good debates regarding what's constitutional, what isn't. And in lots of ways, I think we're just, you know, two sides of the same coin in lots of ways. I love him like a brother, and he is, you know, working in, I'll just say, Hell's Kitchen. He happens to be in Southern California. I mean, in the right there on the border of the invasion, right there in the siege on the Constitution. And so anyway, we had a good opportunity to kind of catch up. I told him about the Supreme Court case. I told him about getting in contact with Bob, that he needs to let his audience know what the heck's going on. The reason why this is so important, folks, both the lawsuit that Bob is doing, as well as making the 2022 election, this has nothing to do. I have no aspirations of getting elected. There's no benefit for me. But we need to make it very painfully clear for every public servant that wants to go to Congress in 2023. They want your vote. You need to go and demand that they understand why Congress is being sued for what happened on January 6th and what they have to do about it and what they need to commit to. If you're not clear, they need to exercise the 12th Amendment. The first thing, if not the very first day they actually convene, it should be like that very first week. Congress needs to come out. The new Speaker of the House and the majority leader of the Senate, because I can tell you, Kamala Harris will not do what she's supposed to do. But the majority leader will move the Senate, and they will have a convened body, and the Speaker of the House will dictate that we must execute the 12th Amendment, and therefore we will settle this constitutional crisis right now. And when I talk about the constitutional crisis, it is so multifolded, as I was telling you. There's so many different prongs. We're only talking about the constitutional crisis of the choosing of the president. We're not talking about the constitutional crisis of this usurpation of education, the usurpation of healthcare, the usurpation of all these other things. This is only just one of the things. We don't have the time to fight every finger, but we do have the time to buy us some time by getting rid of this tyrannical president that was unconstitutionally seated. I am absolutely surprised, and I will not be surprised, if we get to a point where all of a sudden this radio show is, you know, being challenged because we're growing and growing and growing. And I'm pretty confident that Red State Talk Radio will continually air this show. They won't. I mean, it's only good business when all of a sudden people start saying, hey, as a matter of fact, I'm surprised I'm not on, you know, the most hated list of the Southern Poverty Law Center. As a matter of fact, that was a conversation with Douglas Gibbs as well. You know, he and I are not on there, but Keith Reuters is. I mean, this is a badge of honor when the progressives identify you as a public enemy to America, or at least to their constitutional view, or I should say communist view of America and their agenda in implementing communism here in America. With all that said, let me kind of go through the obligatories, because what we do want to do, and so I'm probably going to have some conversations with Douglas V. Gibbs down the road. We're going to be having some other conversations with a few other people. I'm going to be interviewing Patricia Kent. She's the new chair of the Independent American Party, and I'm looking forward to having that interview and airing that. So we'll go through the content. Hopefully it'll be after we get through these two articles, but these are things that are coming. It is going to get busy, because, and I've recognize that since Biden has taken over, people are starting to recognize the urgency. I'm telling, and if you've read my constitutional minutes, which you should have by now, I've actually told your public servants in these dark red states, I'm saying, you know what? Either you do your job or you will be replaced, because the people are getting informed and they're not buying the bull anymore. Period. We're not buying it. You either do what you're supposed to do, because we know you have the power and authority to fix this problem, and you haven't. This is unacceptable. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching is where you can go to get some assistance and some help for getting disciplined and becoming financially successful. Keith Borders with Constitutional Education. Just like I said yesterday and I've said before, Douglas V. Gibbs also has constitutional classes and content out there. As you know, we're going to do this as well. And as a matter of fact, we're hoping what we're going to be doing, this will become a collective effort. A collective effort that actually is unified, not in design to actually make money for individuals, maybe organizations, but we want to. I really don't want this to be a money-making deal. And as a matter of fact, just like we've talked about the Reclaiming of the Republic Network and getting your radio stations to start covering this, this is why we. Some people might consider it a networking, a network marketing type of thing, where you get paid a lot of money to be able to do, you know, to getting the radio broadcasted or getting your radio stations locally to broadcast this show. We're actually going to be paying you. But what the whole point is to help you grow and help you get the movement started in your area, funneling some money that way. And then we're going to shift that money. Instead of going straight to you, we're going to actually start sending that to the organization, which would be, quote unquote, your unorganized militia. We're going to help you and your people. I mean, everybody else wants to put gold in their pocket. Everybody else wants to, you know, a little piece of the pie. We believe that that's the reason why America has gone into the crapper. We believe, we know, that those types of things create corruption. This is why we've really tried to do everything we can not to be a burden or to do these things for our own gain. It's not our own self-interest. Reclaiming the Republic is not a self-interest organization. We're not asking you to become members. We're asking you to actually join your unorganized militia and do your job at your county and create a constitutional county. And we're here to help you. And we're actually putting our, you know, what do they say, what talks and what walks and so forth. And we're putting our money where our mouth is, if you understand what I'm saying. So we want to help you, help us, help you. And it literally is that. And this is almost the perfect epitome of a self-licking ice cream cone. Because if you think about how many counties there are in America, just think about this. If there are, and some of these counties would be sharing the same radio stations and so forth. But if you start doing the math, we're talking 4,000, something like that. That actually can create a lot of revenue that we can start funneling to help you actually start having and paying for the events. What we want to do, and what has to happen for your county, this way, when we start moving away and moving out, by the time we're at that point of Republic Review, when we actually get states moving towards Republic Review, yours truly will probably no longer be broadcasting this show. And that's because I will probably be helping, and if not, writing and actually getting ahead of the curve on where we need to go beyond this. How do we fix welfare? And how do we fix the education? How do we fix these systems in getting them back to the way that the framers were actually able to build this nation the way they did? And it's a beautiful thing. We can get into those details, but what's really important is I just keep moving forward. So again, and this whole rat hole I went down was just because we're talking about constitutional education and curriculum and so forth. People need to be equally informed. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. Timber Nation, hardwood furnishings. Check them out. We, as a matter of fact, we don't even ask and we don't get paid a penny from any of these endorsements, but I stand behind each of these guys. Timber Nation, top-notch, hardwood. I mean, legitimate hardwood, that's walnut. That right there is walnut. And so If you want to get yourself behind a desk, if you want to get yourself some furnishings that will last and look beautiful, TimberNation.com. Stan Kluett with RadioDeskCovers.com. If you contact Stan, he can help you. I mean, protect your investments. These may seem a little pricey, but they're nothing in the long scheme of things. The equipment that I have, I plan on dying with and plan on actually giving it to my children as a part of my estate, right? And my children should be able to enjoy this. This stuff is built that way, and the parts that they make, they still support these things. That's why the computers that I buy, hint, hint, if you wanted to buy a computer that would last a long, 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 long time, it used to be Supermicro. I still think it is, and Supermicro still makes computers that aren't assembled and built in China, but Supermicro, I bought a server in 2006, and that server last year was still running better than, you know, that I couldn't throw it away. I couldn't justify getting rid of the system that was actually still performing. I mean, there was no hesitations. It was great. So why get rid of a system, even though it may be over 15 years old? So what? What do you do with something that is still usable? So what we did was we actually donated it. And it's actually providing a good service. And I can't wait to someday finding out whether the good services that computer is still doing, because it's built that well. And all of my Supermicros have been that way. I haven't had really any problems with any of my Supermicros, but I'm very particular and I know what I'm doing. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. As I was just saying, going into the break, and I ran out of time, made it by the skin of my teeth. Not that there's skin on my teeth, but I know what I'm doing when it comes to buying computers. I mean, that was kind of my second life or second part of my intelligence community career in doing systems engineering and so forth. But if you look at Supermicro, there are some real reasonable systems, and it's usually the smaller ones. They call them desktop servers or super workstations where they have two CPU sockets and so forth. So if you go and look at those, you're going to say, wow, just buying a decent one of these, decently equipped with the CPUs and memory and so forth, you're probably looking at a few thousand dollars. How many times do you buy a computer? Okay, maybe not 1,000, but have you ever had a computer last you 15 years? Have you ever had a computer last you so long you say, you know what, I can't throw this away. It still works. It still functions great. What do? There you go. When you get something that is so good, then you can actually start giving things away or donating them, and people go, wow, this is really a good system. Anyway, adlocal.com. If you're looking to get your organization started with domain services, email services, and so forth. All that being said, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And we kind of left off, and we're really in the last throes of this constitutional and legal jurisdictional limitation on the general government. We're getting into what we call the background, but this really is the precedence where there have been rulings and so forth. So let me just get into this, and then we'll go into the constitutional compliance argument, and we will begin that process today. To be clear, not only were the roles, responsibilities, and powers specifically enumerated in the Constitution, but the possession, use, and sovereignty the general government could exercise over land or property was also specifically enumerated as well. Okay? So, anyway, I thought I heard something. Forgive me. So they could not actually get involved anything beyond, as far as owning land or anything beyond the scope of property that was not enumerated. In Article 1, Section 8, back into the article, in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, the Constitution or the states delegate to the general government the ability to solely possess the District of Columbia for erections of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Not once have the states delegated any role, responsibility, or power to the general government to possess, control, or regulate any land within the states for the purpose of forests, parks, environment, persons, or for any other purpose. So the fact that they're possessing these lands and doing these things is clearly beyond the scope and the authority that the states have delegated to them. So I'm editorializing a little bit here. Today, states that have been encumbered regarding their resources, again, going back to the Western states and many of the states that have had property seized by the federal government for environmental purposes or what have you. And so today, states that have been encumbered regarding the resources or property by the general government have been illegally manipulated into an unconstitutional subservient role to the general government and their fellow states. The fact that the federal government regulates the timber industry and says what they can do and what they can't do steps all over the state's ability to be able to harvest their resources and do what's best for their land. Do you want to understand why we have federal fires and why these fires are so bad that it is actually, you know, polluting and all? The reason why, folks, is because the federal government has gotten involved. Remember, Milton Friedman said it best. If you gave the federal government the charge and responsibility to take care of the Sahara Desert, within 5 years, they would run out of sand. Now they've been governing and regulating since the 80s, unconstitutionally, the forest and timber industries. And now we're having fires, and now we have a timber shortage because they won't allow us. The reason why, if you understand the Agenda 21 and the global communist agenda, they want to hold all of our resources and our reserves so that when they seize control, they'll be able to capitalize on them. We have been set up, we've been manipulated, and we're in a position for them to try to seize us based on bankruptcy, based on the fact that we borrowed all this money. The federal government doesn't even have the enumerated power to do that. They don't have the enumerated power to borrow money to spend on anything that they don't have the authority. We've clearly spelled all of this out for you. So anyway, the unconstitutional exertion of controls over states' property and resources is tantamount to executing economic warfare in specific industries such as the timber and lumber industries, all of which violates the spirit and letter of the Constitution. It goes the same with agriculture, them buying up and even subsidizing. When the federal government comes along and says, we're going to subsidize your farm, so they're going to pay you for not growing anything. That right there is committing economic warfare against the state, because the state was planning on actually having these farmers produce so that they could tax the production of these products. So do you wonder why all of these flyover states are just starving for tax money and becoming desperate? Because the federal government is doing all of these things they have no power to do. And we're letting them do this. This is why we absolutely need you to start demanding your state legislators stand up, take a stand, or get ready to be removed. Because you'll either remove them at the polls, or we will, by county, start getting constitutional counties formed as we're helping you do so, as we're talking about this. We want to help you create constitutional counties that will actually hold your public servants accountable and hold your government accountable. Our end goal is to make it actionable that there is a reasonable process for the people to execute Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, period. We have to be able to do this. Now, I'm going to kind of gloss over this very last part. There's literally two little paragraphs to the background setting up historical precedents. It is well-established principle of law that all federal legislation applies. It is a well-established principle. Now, I'm citing something here because this is really something out of these cases below. It is a well-established principle of law that all federal legislation applies only within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States unless a contrary intent appears in, and then you can kind of start seeing these other different cases. The principle was perhaps best expressed in the very first ruling of Caha versus the United States in 152 U.S. at 215, where the courts declared that the laws of Congress in respect to those matters do not extend into the territorial limits of the states, but have force only in the District of Columbia and other places that are within exclusive jurisdiction of the United States or the national government. This particular principle or law is expressed in a number of the cases, and we provide all of these cases. And let me see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that set the groundwork. And then we actually repeat even more of these. Some of these are, these are all different unique cases. So you'll actually see a bunch of other cases. Let me see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 other cases to help highlight the limitations in jurisdictional control over the federal government, whether they be marine mammals, whether they be, age of discrimination, and these types of things. From the above citations, it is very plain that the federal law only applies within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States and not within the 50 states. In other words, when I say territorial jurisdiction, I don't mean a territory within the states that the federal government has claimed to be territory. Territorial jurisdiction is Guam or the Samoas or the Virgin Islands, territories that are not states. And see, as I mentioned in our previous episode, for a territory to become a territory, because the Constitution does not allow, and the spirit of the Constitution was not to ever allow the federal government to possess land. It was very clear and delineated by the framers. They looked at the federal government or the king being able to take land and possess it permanently as their own was tantamount to, tyranny. This is how the king can start creating warfare and actually exercising economic warfare, resources, and so forth when they can take your land from you. So the whole point was that the federal government was to be dependent. And when I say dependent, I mean dependent upon the states for its revenue. In other words, the states had to be productive. So this created a symbiotic relationship. the federal government, it was in their best interest to ensure that the states could be as productive as possible. Well, as soon as the federal government realized the process or the way to usurp power, they started using that, and boy, did they go crazy with it. And they have gotten away with, as we can see, and as we actually assert, they're getting away with murder. They're getting away with stealing our inheritance and our future and selling us downriver to globalists who want to subjugate us. Washington warned us of these types of evils out there that wanted to see America get destroyed. Those threats never went away. It's just that the idea of liberty did actually grow, but nobody could actually support liberty anywhere else. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things I was actually ran out of time talking about is, and this kind of lent to this conversation I had with Douglas V. Gibbs, is that as we, you know, kind of move forward and move towards this radio show and this radio network, where you got to understand that the majority of the content that's actually going to be out there will be local, that'll be a part of this Reclaiming the Republic. I mean, those people who are getting this started, who will actually be leading and become, you know, the commander of this unorganized militia until you get your... let's just say until you get to a point where your county commissioners recognize that this is something that has to be done. It's just like jury duty. Instead, but jury duty is something that feeds the court, and they basically come along and compel you. You have to serve jury duty, right? Well, technically, you have to be a part of the militia. And I believe that a smart self-government will compel you to at least be involved in citizen vigilance. If you are a registered voter, you are a U.S. citizen and a registered voter, you have to be active in the Citizen Vigilance Network, this unorganized militia, in holding both government. And this is the beautiful thing about it. As we support this and we support forming these unorganized, if I ever call it unconstitutional militia, I'm just confusing the words between unorganized and unconstitutional. Because my mind is thinking too fast, and sometimes I slip up. That's because of the medication, folks, okay? So anyway, And this is all doctor prescribed. So worry not. I'm not actually, you know, self-medicating. But the whole point is that you want to get to a point where your state and your county, because how cool is it when you actually have a body, a self-governing body of the citizens and a citizen vigilance, and the standard is the Constitution, and the people hold the Constitution and support the full compliance. It's almost like the churches being a layman's church where everybody supports the church and everybody has an active role. And in essence, we should be okay with being compelled to be a part of this government. If you want to vote in it, you should be okay with becoming a part of it as well. And I truly believe if you don't want to be a part, if you don't want to go to jury duty, then don't vote, right? That's what I know many people that don't do that. Well, you want to be able to complain. You want to be able to get engaged. You want to have some say. You want to hold government accountable. You have to be a part of the militia. You've got to be a part of the unorganized militia. And so all these conversations are the conversations that we, Doug and I, need to get into details, because I've covered a lot of ground, and not that he's not covering ground. He's plugging away in fighting the fight in Southern California. I had to leave. We had to leave for several reasons, personal reasons, medical reasons, what have you. We actually had to get out of California. We became refugees. But I also understood that I needed to get less encumbered and get into an area where I wasn't around 250,000 people within a stone throw of my residence, if you know what I mean. I mean, the dense population in Southern California was so bad that, and the way the California was moving, they were stealing your property rights. They weren't actually enforcing. We already saw in the early 2010s that California was actually, you know, putting illegals first, these invaders first. If they violated your property, they didn't care. They weren't going to enforce the laws because they were going to protect their political agenda over the rule of law and over our constitutional republic. In other words, it was getting very ugly, and we saw this first happen in California. If you're starting to see this now, if you're starting to see that law enforcement and the people in public service and government says, you know what, we don't care about some of these laws anymore, like shoplifting, we're not going to enforce, that is an indication that your government is gone. They have basically, these people are violating these offices that they've been placed into. The offices are still legitimate. You still have mayor is in a legitimate position. County commissioners, those are legitimate positions. Our government itself is legitimate as we have elected bodies. But there are some elected bodies, by the way, that are not legitimate because they've been driven by the federal government. I'll give you a good case in point. And it's interesting how they seem to be the sources of the problems of, in many cases. These boards of utilities, these boards of public education, all of these things, because the state actually used to do that. Parents in the communities actually used to do those things themselves. But when the government got involved, they started mandating and dictating how these things were to be done and how it would be controlled and so forth. Do you see how the puppet has taken control of whatever you think, whatever you call that thing that the stick is, and I'm waiting for the text to come in, of the marionette or whatever that is. The guy, I think the marionette's the guy that actually controls the puppets, but there's a name for that stick that all the strings are tied to, and the puppet has actually seized control of that and is now controlling themselves and controlling us as well. Or the puppet has now taken control of the marionette and is pulling his strings. In other words, vice versa. And I hope that makes sense, because that's how perverted we have become. That's how perverted or backwards our government has gotten. So anyway, as we kind of move forward, we want to really help you understand all of these things. So the first thing we have to help you understand is why does every state need to create these committees, these constitutional compliance committees. Now, in Wyoming, they called it a federal review committee. Eventually, I don't care what they want to call. They can call it the interposition committee because they don't want to use G.R. Mobley's term, reclaiming or not reclaiming the Republic, Republic Review. Republic Review is the full process. I cannot stress that. Republic Review includes both the audit, that process of definitizing the Constitution, what is Constitution, what isn't. It also, because we have all these problems. We have all of these problems that stem from all of these different things, such as what is constitutional? What should the federal government be doing? What can they do? What are their powers? Is this an enumerated power? What are the enumerated powers? What could be implied, or what does implication mean? We have to definitize all of this. This is why when we go through this, it will start making sense. You don't have to go and buy my books to understand Republic Review. These actually, to be honest, these articles are going to be available for free. But tying all of these together and placing these into a book, we will be selling these. And again, I think I've expressed this, that it is something that down the road, I need to leave something to help my wife financially because I may not be around to help contribute and help take care of her. I know for myself that, and this is one of those things that, you know, every husband and wife, you've had these conversations. If you go before me, I'll be okay. If I go before you, you may not be okay. Because you look at your retirement schemes, you look at your revenues and what you've done and so forth. And so... there's no greater, I should say, it is a dialogue and a conversation that is important that every husband and wife has. And 9 times out of 10, they may not talk about it enough. And so I'm always trying to think of, you know, what do we do? What happens if I do pass before my wife? Well, sell the house, sell the kids, you know. I'm just kidding. And that happens to be a line out of Apocalypse Now. If you remember that Robert Duvall, that Sheen movie. Anyway, I'm here to tell you that when we start this process, there's going to be people, John Birchers, or just people that say, you know, we don't want to take it, we don't want to use GR's name, or naming convention. I don't care, as long as they use the full convention. We only own the intelligence or the intellectual property behind this process so that somebody else, some other do-gooder or possible noble person comes in and says, you know, we want to buy this up. And next thing you know, they sweep it away and place it into a closet and say, well, there's nothing to see here, folks. Nah, you don't know what that is. So that you never learn about this. So you never understand what to do and how to do it. And then somebody else has to go. And then if they own this, it actually shuts down the discussions. And they can actually do cease and desist orders on anybody else trying to uncover this. That's how powerful this is. And it's not something that we take lightly, but we do understand that this cannot be a self-serving thing. The day we do this, is the day we actually, I think we will call upon us the judgment of heaven, because I truly believe the Lord has blessed us to this point, and he'll continue to bless you and I as we move forward in doing what we need to reclaim the Republic. It's just ironic that even reclaiming the Republic was not considered a coined phrase. Why didn't anybody else think of this? As a matter of fact, as people started hearing it, we actually heard people start duplicating. There was a John Birch Society speech out there on YouTube reclaiming the Republic where Matt Shea did this. And he actually called his, you know, reclaiming the Republic. And I'm going, hold on, you can't do that. I've got a trademark on this. Anyway, fact of the matter is we only do these things not to actually silence people or not to be, you know, not to be jerks, but to ensure that these ideas and these processes and this information cannot be thrown into a closet and locked under key so that you and America cannot get engaged and do what we need to do. These are your tools. We're here for you. We're here to help, and we're not from the government. I love saying that, and we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's kind of move into the space of constitutional compliance and the argument for this bill, because we kind of really covered a lot of these little things with these small little darts into rat holes. Let me get into it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Did you know that this can be cited, that one adage, ignorance of the law is no excuse, can be cited to Thomas Jefferson? I think some of you would go, wow, that's kind of interesting. As Thomas Jefferson stated, quote, ignorance of the law is no excuse in any country. If it were, the laws would lose their effect because it can always be pretended, close quote. For a legislator to be ignorant of the law, or more specifically, quoting myself, when a legislator claims ignorance regarding the supreme law of the land, closing my quote, this is the greatest crime one could commit in a republican form of government other than treason. It is tantamount to treason. As a point of fact, all state legislators in this republic are legally bound by their oath of office, that as a legislator, they must support the Constitution for the United States as required by Section 3 in Article 6 of the Constitution for the United States. Now, you're going to hear me say for the United States over and over again. There's a reason why we use this vernacular and this term very specifically, because if you just say the Constitution, it is ambiguous. There are two constitutions, to be clear, that need to be delineated. The annotated Constitution is what the federal government uses, and that's called the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution for the United States was the Constitution written for and by the states that ratified that organic, what some people call the organic Constitution. It is basically the Constitution with no other words attached, and the ratified amendments to those same words. So in other words, the organic Constitution or the Constitution for the United States is just the language of the Constitution as well as the amendments. Now, what we believe must happen is the definitizing of the Constitution by providing the legal terms and definitions that were established, and we'll get into this in this document, that were established during the ratification debates. It's called canonizing or definitizing the Constitution. In other words, every time during a legal process of accepting a compact, when a definition is provided for a particular sentence, a word, a clause, what have you, that definition becomes legally binding, especially if it was provided by a proponent, in other words, a supporter that says, this is what this means. If you ratify, this is what this means. If you buy this car, we will do this for you. It becomes an additive. It becomes an amendment to the actual words. Therefore, when it comes down to the legal binding acceptance and terms, these things are appendages. They are legal appendages to the Constitution. This is why they have to be added. By adding these, and we get into this in detail when we move forward, I just want to kind of help you understand what and why we're doing this and why this is a part of Republic Review, that we have to delineate exactly what is constitutional. We can't let the federal government tell us what's constitutional. So, in other words, we have a little due diligence. We have a little research to do to say exactly how did they define it. We are obligated, as James Madison stated, even he was obligated to operate the Constitution as it was understood by the states at its time of ratification. In other words, pointing to those terms and definitions provided and nothing else. You can't just assume, you can't use a crystal ball and interpret. It is not allowed in contract law. Only when there is no terms or definitions provided either in the compact or during the negotiations or ratification process of accepting that compact. Only then is there a possibility of interpretation, and the final arbiters must be the states. This is why we're going through all this stuff, folks. So anyway, as a point in fact, all legislators in this republic are legally bound by their oath of office, as I just stated, that as a legislator, they must support the Constitution for the United States as required by Section 3 in Article 6 of the Constitution for the United States. It is an indictment to witness this rampant ignorance amongst our state legislators in regard to the Constitution for the United States, and one very specific law within the Constitution for the United States is the law that legally obligates all public servants to support the Constitution or suffer immediate removal. The specific law we are referencing can be found in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, in accordance with the law in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, any and all public servants who either violate the Constitution or fail to support it in ignorance or with direct malfeasance shall be immediately removed from office and banned from office for the rest of their lives. Here's our problem, folks. They don't want you to enforce it. They've made it so that you can't enforce it because they haven't made any mechanisms and they refuse to enforce it. What do we do? Well, that's why we have to set up these unconstitutional militias. But we also start getting people elected to say, I'm going to go do this. I don't care if I fall on my sword. You know, somebody else will follow me. We're going to move this ball across the finish line. We're going to get this done. And so as Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is clearly within the Constitution, this is the supreme law of the land. Therefore, this supersedes any other law or state constitution that governs conduct or institutes policies as to how to handle and punish any and all public servants for violating their oath of office. In other words, this supersedes the impeachment process for all public servants except for the President and Vice President of the United States. To be clear, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment establishes the standards of, quote, qualifications or eligibility, however you want to define that, because Doug and I did argued over that, for a public servant, or not argue, we debated it, for a public servant to maintain one's office of trust and confidence, when a public servant violates their oath by participating in supporting laws, spending, taxing, not enforcing, or acting upon laws that are not in pursuance to the Constitution or defending the Constitution. Or defending the Constitution from other public servants who are attacking the Constitution by violating the Constitution. So let me give you an example, because maybe it will help. If a public servant actually, you know, if there's this money that comes in from the federal government to, you know, fund highways or fund your county roads or to give you any funding, well, if they don't have the enumerated power to do that, they can't do that. You can't take that money. You, as a public servant, take an oath. You cannot accept that money. Now, everybody that's listening to this goes, well, shoot, we're going to turn off that spigot of money. Then that's a bad thing. Absolutely not. Because you got to remember that every time the federal government comes with strings, they put chains on you. They've taken away your force. They've taken away your minerals. They've taken away all the abilities for you to do things for yourself. Now you can't fund these things. So now they give you a stipend. You want to understand why your roads are so in disrepair? You want to understand why things are just, you know, infrastructure is so crappy? You know, these public utilities, they can be taken down by a hacker in a minute? Why is that? Because they don't care about keeping those things up, because it's not within their job and responsibility. They've seized control of it, and they deliberately allow it to become dilapidated because they want these problems to exist. They don't care about really fixing the problems. They only care about controlling everything, and that's exactly what they're doing. So anyway, those public servants that are actively or passively allowing the Constitution to be attacked and subverted are no longer qualified or eligible to be a public servant and are to be banned from public service for the rest of their lives for defying that office of trust and confidence. So do you understand, you know, where we're going with this, right? So we're basically laying the groundwork of putting it out there, hey, you state legislators, you either do what you're supposed to do or stand in jeopardy of being removed. And we're telling your constituents, we're letting everybody know you have the constitutional power and authority to remove these people. And they're going to do everything they can to defend themselves unconstitutionally by keeping you from being able to exercise Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That's exactly what's happened. That's why we have all of these amoral, these nefarious evildoers that have been surviving as rhinos, communists, and so forth. And I mean, look at the gang of whatever those women are in Congress that are outright communist revolters against the Constitution. Whether they be Islamist communists or just communists, does it matter? They're working together to destroy our Constitution and seize control of your life. And I'm telling you something, these people hate you. These people are going to just relish in subjugating you. They're going to relish in doing whatever's necessary. Remember, the ends justify the means. They will kill you. They will do whatever is possible, whatever is necessary to get them to their finish line. We need to fight back. It is now or never. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll be finishing all of this week. We'll be back. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.